From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
It's good to have you listening in today as we close out another week of broadcasting here on Let the Bible Speak. For the last 2 weeks, we have been looking at verses 15 through 20 in Colossians chapter 1. Last week, the preeminence of Christ in creation. This week, the preeminence of Christ in redemption. And that's the study that we'll be concluding in today's broadcast. First, however, it's time for our daily devotional Bible study. The field of the slothful, and the text is Proverbs 24, verse 31. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Come, let's take a walk with Solomon. Let's, with him, pass by the field of the slothful. As we gaze over the broken stone wall, we may receive instruction from this parable of nature. The slothful man might have enriched himself by his field and vineyard. It was a precious possession. It was fertile soil, as the abundance of those thorns and nettles plainly proves. Where they could so flourish, better things could have been produced. The rain watered the soil. It felt the warmth of the sun. Why then this waste of productive ground? This garden was neglected. It had not been cultivated. It had not been weeded. Those thorns and nettles bore testimony to that. What a ruinous neglect! How insidious neglect is! How much is lost by it! If we neglect the garden of our soul, it will not be left empty. The rank weeds of sin will certainly grow up there with their noxious fruit. We see in Proverbs 24, verse 31, the sure result of being slothful in the things of God. What unsightliness is here, what waste is here, what dearth and devastation. There could have been a field ripe with golden grain and choice vines, loaded with clusters of refreshing fruit. The soul of the Christian should be like a well-watered garden, flourishing, fragrant, and fruitful. Christian, be diligent in spiritual husbandry. Break up your fallow ground, sow to yourselves in righteousness. This is what the prophet Hosea commands. As Paul would teach us in Galatians 5, cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. Build up the wall of godly habits. As Peter says in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go, work today in the vineyard of your own soul. Our thought for the day comes from the Puritan Thomas Adams. Deny sloth not only continuance, but countenance.
Yeah.
Many of you have already asked for our quarterly magazine, and have, I trust, been enjoying reading it. The latest issue of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly deals with the subject of the cross of Christ, and that should make it an issue that is of interest to all of God's people. If you haven't yet joined our readership, I encourage you to do so. It's easy. All you have to do is call or write, either by conventional mail or by email, and we'll ship the magazine off to you. There's no cost to you at all, and no strings attached. We know that almost any time you order anything from most Christian ministries, you're likely to receive endless streams of begging letters. That will not happen when you write or call Let the Bible Speak. So make sure you get on our mailing list for the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is freepres@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you and being able to send you our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. Come to the final part of our study on the subject, the preeminence of Christ in redemption. And as we pay particular attention to his preeminence in the success of his work, we mark his offices as mediator, reconciliator, and propitiator.
God made Christ to be three great things. Number one, he made him the sole mediator. But then he received him as the sole reconciliator. But you know, all this depends on one other thing. And that is, God accepted him as the sole propitiator. God made peace. God reconciled all things through Christ, through the blood of his cross. In the Bible, humanity can only be reconciled by blood. There is no reconciliation without propitiation. The preeminence of Christ in his redemption is something that depends on his atoning death. Unless that death made a sacrificial atonement to satisfy divine justice, fulfill the demands of the holy law of God, then there is no redemption. But bless God, he died an atoning death. He satisfied God. He removed sin and the curse and the enmity from man. He purchased the new creation of heaven and of earth. He ensured that not one of those people for whom he shed his blood as a substitute and a sacrifice would ever perish. He assured us that his death was a propitiation. What does that big word mean? It was a true atonement. It was a sacrifice that forever successfully removed the wrath of God against all for whom it was made. That language may be a little strange to some of you. You may have grown up hearing that Jesus died with such a big-hearted goodness. And of course, what's being described is neither big-hearted nor good. But vaguely, with some big-hearted goodness, a benevolent purpose to open a door of opportunity indiscriminately for everybody. I don't know what Bible the preachers read who talk that sort of nonsense. I've read this Bible scores of times. I have never once found one single shred of evidence in Scripture that my Savior died to open a door of opportunity or to purchase the chance of being saved. I read, He died to save His people from their sins. I read, He died to redeem, to propitiate God's wrath, to put it away forever. And I put it to you, the Scripture makes it abundantly clear in passages like 2 Corinthians 5:21, many others as well, but I put it to you, in the words of the old hymn, payment God cannot twice demand, first from my bleeding surety's hand, and then again from mine. If Jesus Christ put away the wrath of God against my sin, then sure it is grace that saves me, for it's grace that provided that. But now justice comes in to step with grace, as it were, and it is justice that saves me. Because the price has been paid. And God would be unjust. The very thought is unimaginable, must be repudiated. God would be unjust if He were to exact punishment from those for whose sins Christ had already borne all His wrath. No, He is the propitiator. What a glorious sacrifice He made. Let me sum it up. Our Creator became our Savior. No one less than God manifested in the flesh could ever accomplish our redemption. Let me sum up what I've been saying all day today. By divine right, He has the place of preeminence over all created things. By His personal accomplishment, He has gained the honor of holding the first place in all things in the entire realm of redemption. Now that's the teaching. Now comes the question. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? Paul didn't write all this that the Colossians may sit down and pat themselves on the back and say, "Now, how much more I know." Now, what do you do with this? I'll tell you, very simply. First and foremost, realize with whom you're dealing. When we come to God's house and we read this Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, I want you to realize the one with whom you're dealing. Recognize Him for who He is. It's easy to sit through a meeting, let your mind wander. It's easy to be young and frivolous and foolish, and it's just as easy to be old and frivolous and foolish. You listen, but you really don't listen. And you walk out and you forget everything. It doesn't really matter. But you see, if that happens to you, if you leave this meeting tonight just dismiss it all. It tells you something very radical. You haven't come to terms with who Christ really is. I do not think it is possible for a person to be convinced in his heart as to who Christ really is. I know it's easy to give assent verbally and even flippantly, but I don't think it's possible for a person to come to any deep realization of who Christ really is without, like John on the Isle of Patmos, falling at his feet. Realize with whom you're dealing. Then secondly, fall before him in worship. We sang this morning from the 95th Psalm. Verse 6 says, "Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Bow before him. Fall at his feet in worship. And then cry. Plead. Pray. Take the first place in my heart. Oh, it's great to know that he'll have the first place in the entire cosmos. It's great to know that eternally he'll have the preeminence in all his redeemed. But Lord, take the first place in my heart, in my life, in order that in me, Christ may be my all in all. I want in all things that in my life he will have the preeminence. I want to live for Christ. I want my life to tell for Christ. When it's all summed up and done, I want my life to have counted something for Christ. Oh, let me urge you to think of him. Get your eyes on him. There's nothing like a sight of Christ for stirring the soul to want your life to count for him. Forget about getting rich or getting famous. Forget about all the things that the world thinks are so wonderfully great. The only thing that matters, will my life count for him? A lot of you young people here tonight need to take that much to heart. Some of you are at a crossroads in life, and there's a lot in the balance. What direction are you going to take? What are you going to be doing with this life? I can't tell you what to do, what your job is going to be, where it's going to be. But I can tell you, let this be the defining element in the decision. That in all things Christ may have the first place. I remember when the Lord spoke to me about service, I had long prayed that the Lord would just use me. There was a time I thought he would do something else, but I was young and very foolish, and realized now it would never have been, unless God changed me completely, it would never have been anything that would have worked. I had my own ideas what I wanted to be. I never wanted to be a preacher. Tell it not in Gath. I wanted to be a lawyer. I didn't want to be just a lawyer. I wanted to be the Lord Chief Justice of the whole country. I remember as a little fellow of 6, 7, and 8, I used to pray that, "Lord, I want to be Lord Chief Justice. Make me that." He spared me from that. There are prayers that he graciously doesn't say yes to. I remember when God began to speak to me about the ministry of the gospel. The only thing that mattered was God's will. I remember one of my bosses telling me, "Don't go to that church. You'll waste your life. They are nothing. You have the opportunity to go to the College of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. You could go there and you could have a ministry in a large Presbyterian church. Apostate as the day is long, by the way, but you could have a ministry there. No, no. Whether I minister to 2 people or 200 people, my life must tell for Christ. He must be the first. I well remember when God spoke to me about His service. With all the weakness and all the inability, there was that desire, often cried before God from the agony of a broken heart, of the feeling of failure and absolute inability. Lord, let my life and service count for Thee. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. The older I get, and the nearer I get to going out to meet God, the more I realize that's all that matters. If Jesus Christ is God, C.T. Studd said, if you haven't read the life story of the great English pioneer missionary to China and India and Africa, yes, all three, get it and read it. But C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. In all things, in every part of my life, in every decision that I take, in every step along the journey, He shall have the first place. He is worthy.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.